probably pretty cheap in the medical system. So instead of that, he had attended a meeting, the administration had a meeting, and sometimes we did not stop and sometimes we start out, sometimes we did, as they said, they met and we signed one day. And after the meeting was over, we went to Dalamit in the race medish. And a seriously sick patient was brought to the hospital, and the boys ran into the race medish, and they said, we have to say to him. So he said, they started screaming to him. He said, I could have sworn I was back and run. He said, it was worth it to make Einstein just for that too. He said, he realized that he did the right thing. He said, he could have sworn he was back and run. I remember once a year, Dr. Belkin would daven with us, the day that he got Yotza. I guess the other Yotza must have been in the summertime. Yeah, the one of his parents had Yotza, I believe, at the time. So he would daven with incredible. So he had a tradition from God, from the sky. We had all learned by Rav Sol Aleichi. So Rav Sol Aleichi didn't have the Yeshivish traditions. He had his family traditions, the Kalosh, and different traditions. So Rav Sol Aleichi was opposed to the Yeshivish practice. By Mincha, you say, Hoche Kedusha. The Chazan just says, Shmonesri to Lech Kedusha, and everybody says, Tfilah Dolach Hashem. And he said, you have to always have a Chazar Sashat, it's not proper. And he said, if you do have a Hoche Kedusha, then everybody should say along with the Chazan, they should all start the Shmonesri with the Chazan. And Dr. Belton's practice was like in the Yeshivas, by Mincha, everybody does a Hoche Kedusha. You don't start along with the Chazan, you wait until after the Chazan finishes Kedusha, and then everybody starts Shmonesri. So the same shield on every year. Dr. Belkin would daven for a number. And Rav Sol Aleichi could sometimes be there. Sometimes it was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Rav Sol Aleichi could be there. It would be another day of the week. He wouldn't be there. So Dr. Belkin would say the Hoche Kedusha. And everybody would say Shema Yisrael along with him, like Rav Sol Aleichi said. And then after he would finish the Kaddish, after all, he would turn around and start speaking Yiddish. Aganzi Yeshiva, nobody knows that it says in the Mishnah Berurah that he's supposed to wait until after the Chazan finish. Everybody was smiling, didn't say anything, because Rav Sol Aleichi held faket. We had two different traditions running in the same time. Rav Belkin had his tradition from the Rav Zayin for Radin, and Rav Sol Aleichi had his tradition. Different alien community in Chayim. I wanted to discuss a little bit the topic of Mechira Sons. Again, Rav Sol Aleichi had his tradition from his family. That when you sell the chametz before Pesach, it's a practice that's already several centuries old. And all the balabatim request of the local Orthodox rabbi to sell the chametz on the mayor for a non-Jew. If the chametz doesn't belong to me, it belongs to a non-Jew, then it more says it's no violation of Bali Bakhametz. So this was developed in the early 1800s, and everybody requests of the rabbi to sell the chametz for them, so no one is in violation of Bali Bakhametz. So the salvation's family tradition is based on that one should not sell cake or cookies of bread that has actual chametz in it. You should only sell karubas chametz. If you have a food that has an ingredient which is less than 50%, if it's karubas chametz, so then you can rely on the mechiras chametz. But an actual chametz bien, a meal of cake or cookies, you should. And then one of the students said, "Why do you can't sell my devil cookies?" Salvation didn't know himself what kind of devil cookies. So that was his practice. What is it based on? Because the Chiras Chametz is really a ha'aroma. Ha'aroma means a legal fiction. It's legal, but it's a legal fiction. We're not really selling the chametz to the toy. We have in mind selling it to the toy. But in the normal course of events, we're not in the business, we're not a grocery shop, we're not interested in selling it. And the minute Pesach is over, we buy back. So that's called a legal fiction. Korshar Psachim has this comment based on the Gemara. Yeah, the Masechta Shabbos said we're only permitted to practice, to institute a legal fiction, if the issue involved is only an Aveir Dirabah. So to have real comments in possession of Pesach, that's a possible Chodesh, but if I must have Tarubas comments, if it only has a Chodesh ingredient, so the first Pesach Psachim, of course, there are many Tavans of the Mishnah, that's about Yerabah Imotzeh, and Tarubas comments is only the Dirabah. Since the Ba'al Yerubah is only the Rabban, the Rubas Chametz, so there you can rely on the legal fiction of the Mechiras Chametz. The Nesivis, who lived in the early 1800s, disagrees. And he writes in his Chuvah, the very first Chuvah is about this topic. The Chacharav sent him a letter, how do you allow the Mechiras Chametz Institute? Shabbat in the Mishnah, my service, my Sushani. But if I'm Poda, my own my Sushani, I'm the farmer, and I own the my Sushani, it's my money. I'm Poda, I'm redeeming my Sushani after my money. So the Chomish requires you have to add a Chomish. Means if the my Sushani is worth $100, you have to give $125. A Chomish means 25%. But if someone else is putting my Maisa Sheni, he only gives the carrot. The other person only has to give $100. So the Mishnah tells you how to beat the system. The Mishnah says, how can one be putting his own Maisa Sheni and save himself adding on the $25? The Mishnah says, give the money to a friend of yours whom you can trust. And have him be putting your Maisa Sheni. So since it's a stranger, it's an outsider, it's good opinion, so you only have to give the carrot, you only have to give the $100. Don't need to add on, you have to give $25. Talmud Yerushalmi says this is the one and only place where there's a din min haTorah. Din yer ma'aseh sheni to add on chomish, to add on 25%. What is din chomish? It's a din d'oraisa. This is the only area where we put min haramah. In all other dinim, we don't put min haramah. So it's based on this passage that the Rishacharav complained to the Nisik, this how can we permit the whole you? He was the one who instituted the Rishacharav. It was come to many Jewish farmers in Europe. And they had animals, they had cows, and they had chomish, and they had to feed the cows and pigs. And they would sell the cows to a goyish neighbor, one of the workers on the farm. They'd sell the chomish to the cow and give the goy instructions how to feed the cow every day. So this was instituted by the father of the Nesivus in the early 1800s. The church wrote that in China, but the Yerushalmi says the only permit haramah when it comes to dinam derabbanan, we don't permit it in dinam derabbanan. So the pashtus is, so the Nesivus says, this Talmud Yerushalmi is not quoted in the Bavli, and we don't follow that. We don't accept that opinion. The pashtus is that the harama, legal fiction, is not permitted when it comes to performing a mitzvah. Dinyan Maaseh Sheni is a mitzvah. And the mitzvah says, you say, Abraham, before you put the Maaseh Sheni, then you're supposed to take the money to Yerushalayim. It's another mitzvah. So when you're putting the Maaseh Sheni on the money, you say, Abraham, take the money to Yerushalayim, you buy a salami sandwich with the wine, with beer, whatever. It says, so you say another bracha there. So every step of the way you're performing a mitzvah. So if I'm putting my own Maaseh Sheni, so the mitzvah of Hafila is to add on chomish, to give $125, even though Maaseh Sheni is only worth $100. So when you're dealing with a mitzvah, so that's what the Yerushalmi says. It's not proper to institute the haram. At the end of the day, you will be missing the mitzvah. The normal course of events, you have a mitzvah to give $125, and you're cheating on the system. You're not fulfilling your proper mitzvah. So the Yerushalmi has a busted why we permit haram here to save you $25. But in any other area of a mitzvah, we don't permit haram. But when it comes to mechivas chametz, you are burning some of the chametz. You're not selling all the chametz that you have. You're burning a little bit of chametz. 99% of the chametz you sell to the non-Jew. 1% of the chametz you burn. So the mitzvah of Tadbisu, you are fulfilling. Well, like, the whole idea of selling 99% of the chametz is to avoid bali rot, so to avoid the prohibition of having the chametz in your possession. So a rabbi to avoid violation of an affair, that's okay. But by look at the as long as you don't do the affair, that's okay. If a person wants to shave off his beard, shave with a razor is prohibited. That's an aveira. But to use an electric shaver, so there's no aveira. It's because it's aroma. You're not allowed to know aroma. It's aroma to avoid violation of an aveira. Aroma to avoid an aveira is not a problem. So that's the pashtus. That's why we don't follow this taina that the judge of had. How do you allow aroma when it comes to the people's comments? The end. It's a din d'oraisa by Rabbi Matzah. Haroma is permitted when it comes to an aveira. Only haroma and a mitzvah says it d'oraisa, we don't allow it. The one exception of haroma by the pinyan Maaseh Sheni, save the 25% inhibition. Big discussion that the poskim have with respect to the Tiras Chametz is exactly how does one sell metaltolin? He's selling real estate, even executive law in America, in college for sure, there are different pinyonim, there's a different methodology is needed to sell real estate as opposed to selling movable items. So exactly which kinyan, which legal action do you have to do to accomplish a transaction you have to accomplish that the chametz now belongs to the non-Jew? You just make an oral declaration, anybody declare the chametz is yours and it belongs to him. So according to secular law, according to New York State law, I think that is the law. To sell real estate, you have to make a document, you have to have a written document. You're selling movable items, metaphorically, an oral declaration of people there, that the comments in my parking should belong to you, so the Rambam says that doesn't accomplish a kinyan. According to secular law, it does accomplish a kinyan. The Shulchan Aruch says, based on his work, that if you're dealing in business between a Jew and a non-Jew, one of the parties is a non-Jew, can we follow the Intermachusa? But we should follow the Intermachusa that the kinyan, according to the secular law, should be binding over here. So if the rabbi just makes a moral declaration, I hereby sell all the chametz in my, all the chametz from all of my balabat and water rising to their function as a shliach, as an agent, and as a yid, to make a moral declaration, sells it to the non-Jew. So we should really follow the other rabbis. One of the parties over here, the bakeh, is a non-Jew. So that should solve the whole problem. So the person raised an issue, we're not so convinced this kinyan that's accomplished when we sell chametz to a non-Jew, with a kinyan. Does the Kenyan Dina Mahusa work in a Torah? Does it only work in the Rabbah? So some raise the issue, this is a famous Makwai. So some are of the opinion that Kenyan through Dina Mahusa only works in the Rabbah, and so far it's supposed to be wrong. Then others raise an objection. Dina Mahusa and Kenyan only works with the Rabbah, and so the Torah of the Chometz is still mine, so I'm still in violation of all your rabbis. You have to find a better Kenyan. So what Kenyan can we do? So normally, whenever you want to make a kinyan, the easiest way to make a kinyan is the new chalika. Whether you want to buy karka, you want to buy the metalfalin, whether you want to create a hiskadros, the pasuk says in Megillas Rus, the time kolo, chalika is the one and only kinyan that works on everything. Usually we have a plow, in the second paragraph, that kinyani karka do not work on metalfalin, kinyani metalfalin don't work on karka. Different set of kinyani for real estate, different set of kinyanim on movable items. The one and only kinyan that works both on karak or on kalpalit, and even works to create it, is chaydos, is kinyan halikah. I give you a handkerchief in exchange for which you transfer ownership of your house. I give you a handkerchief in exchange for which you transfer ownership of your house. Or you promise to give me $100,000 and I don't want you to back out. You can only back out from a promise. I give you a handkerchief and they can leave legally binding. Now you can't back out. Now I can force you to do it to pay me the $100,000. So that's based on the pasuk in Megillas Rus. It's also the fun of me. So the time kolo, anything and everything can be accomplished with the king chalitza. So that should be the easiest way to sell a chametz to the non-Jew. Let the non-Jew give a handkerchief to the rabbi. Rabbi selling his own chametz, selling all the chametz of all of the balutatim. So they can king chalitza. That's the easiest way. So this is right on the Gimel. In Kiddusha, this is called the rabbi. The Tam was a businessman. He was a money lender. He lent money to Jews. He don't make any money because he can't charge any interest. And that was a money lender to non-Jews. They quote in the history books. Rabbi Tam was a little nervous or anxious, and he calmed himself down. He used to play the courts. That was so far nostra, lending money. So Rabbi Tam would sometimes send a shliach to go collect the money from the non-Jew. He didn't always deal with his customers in person. This is quotes Rabbi Natan on the Gimel of an Aleph in Kiddushin. He felt that he can make a kinyan halikah and even between a Jew and a non-Jew. So that should be the easiest way to solve the problem. If you're questioning whether Dina the Mahusa kinyan, according to Dina Mahusa, you just make an oral declaration. That's a promise to laws that a non-Jew is not real. If you're questioning that maybe the kinyan of Dina the Mahusa is only with the Rabbanim, and there you still have the issue of Balik Rabbi Matzeh, so make a kinyan halikah and let the non-Jew give a handkerchief to the and all the chametz will be his. So the Shach in Choshen Ishbot comes up with an original suggestion. Maybe the Rabbi Natan is wrong. He doesn't have any proof. Maybe the Rabbi Natan is wrong. Maybe the Halikah only works when both parties are Jewish. And in fact, the Ritva writes like that. On Kiddushin and Nedav, the Ritva says, look in the Pasuk in the Megillas Rus, which is the source of the institution of Kinyan Halikah. The Pasuk says, it's also the fun of the Israel. This was the practice of the Jewish people. Simple reading of the pasuk seems to imply the kinyan halikah only works by Jews. One of the parties is a non-Jew, could be the halikah doesn't work. So we do two kinyanim. First, we make a kinyan based on dina de mahusa, and we're not so sure that that works. Then we make a kinyan halikah, and we're not so sure that that works. So we want to make a kinyan that for sure should work. So what can work for sure? Have the non-Jew pay money. Let it pay money for the hummus. If you pay, don't you require permission? So that's a whole discussion, a whole complicated discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in the end of Chumash VaYikra, where the pasuk speaks about two Jews dealing in business one with the other, and it says, Misef of Panaviyara Misef, if he sell it to another Jew. And then it continues to say a certain detail on the Havar. So the Gemara understands why does it only apply to dealing with the Jew? You can't sell to the non-Jew? The Gemara says, yeah, but the Kenyan that you've got to make, if he's selling movable items, he's selling a topolith, whatever Kenyan works, if both parties are Jewish, you have to have a different Kenyan if he's selling to a non-Jew. So which Kenyan works between two Jews, so you know which is the Kenyan that works when you're dealing with the Jew. That's a famous machlokes, it's between Rabbi Yochanan and the Shlokish, above the sea, she was like, above the sea this year, Perek Hazor. So the Shlokish is of the opinion that Mishicha is Kaidim and Atur. Mishicha Akbo, if I give you the Chametz, then I'll give the Chametz to a non-Jew and he picks it up. Or I put the Chametz in his car and he drives away with the Chametz. And he makes it Kidim Mishicha, Kidim Akbo, so that'll work in Atur. Because the Pasuk said, if he said, remember himself, I'm going to be Yad on himself, I'm going to be Yad on himself. Sounds like the non-Jew makes a Mishicha. Sounds like the Jew is making a Mishicha. So the Shlokish says, the Pasuk says, between two Jews, Mishicha works. But the word like Yisefa tells us that if you deal with a non-Jew, you have to have a different kingdom. So if you sell it to a non-Jew, money, let the non-Jew pay money, he'll be kind of. So if you think with Pascha like Mishlokish, our problem would be some, let the non-Jew pay some money. They'll acquire ownership of everybody's money. So Rashi Pascha like Mishlokish. Why does Rashi all of a sudden Pascha like Mishlokish? You know, in the Gemara, many places, if somebody disputes between Rabbi Yechon and Mishlokish, whenever there's an Rabbi Yechon was the Rebbe, Mishlokish was the Talmud. So whenever there's a dispute between Rabbi Yechon and Mishlokish, we always Pascha like Rabbi Yechon, like the Rebbe, with only three exceptions to the rule. One of the Gemara, one of the Gemara, the three exceptions to the rule. This is not one of the three exceptions. Why does Rashi all of a sudden think that we should Pascha like Mishlokish? Based on the Gemara involving the Tzia, Rava made a comment that Krov Masnita, the sign of the Rishlokish, is a pasuk that seems to back up Rishlokish's opinion. And there's a Bryson who said that the Tzia, that supports Rishlokish. So Rashi says, there you have it. If Rava said that there's a pasuk in Chumash, Yosefka, that supports Rishlokish, so Rava said that it is like Rishlokish. Taisus quotes the Rabbi in Tavlet, it's not so. Because Rava is the one who says Pasuk and the Tosefta support Mishlokish, but Rava is the one who says in Yevamos, and there are only three cases, it's the same person, Rava. Rava is the one who says in Yevamos, there are only three cases when he passed like Mishlokish, so why didn't he mention the fourth case? So Rabbi Natan says, Rashi read the Gemara incorrectly. But Rava said, Kro Masnika, the Pasuk and the Tosefta support Mishlokish, he meant at first glance. So officially, the pasuk lechayra, promising the lechayra beside the Mishlokish, but there's an easy teretz on the pasuk, and there's an easy teretz on the Tosefta, and we don't pass like Mishlokish. So most of the Mishnayim hold like this. Is most of the Rambam and most of the Mishnayim pass like Rabbi Yehudah. What does Rabbi Yehudah say? Rabbi Yehudah claims that when a Jew is selling to another Jew, the talpali, the kinyan menatar really should be mochos, we should pay money. The whole institution of Mishnah was only in Rabbah. And a third of the Kenyan that works is Mahos. So if he's dealing between two Jews, and the Kenyan and a third is paying money, Mahos, then the phrase Mamisef means when you sell to a non-Jew, you have to have a different Kenyan. So which is the other Kenyan? Mishicha. The guy has to go to everyone's home and make a hakbo, make a Mishicha. He's not going to do that. So according to most of the Mishayim, if the guy's going to pay money, he didn't acquire ownership of the money. So, but we have the goy paying money. According to Rashi, we solve the problem. So we already have three kinyanim. First, we make a kinyan, we say, according to the laws of the state of New York, you can acquire ownership of the chametz based on the, according to Dina Machus, just by the oral declaration. According to some Mishnayim, the chametz already belongs to the non-Jew because we apply the kinyan of Dina Machus. Others are not happy about that. So we make a kinyan chalim. The Shah and the Ritvo are not happy about the Kenyan Halipas, so we got to make another Kenyan. We'll make a Kenyan Mos. That's an annual pay for the Mos. Both the Rashi's problems are solved. But most of the Mishanim don't accept Rashi's opinion. Most of them hold that our Torah boys are just if a Jew is selling to another Jew, the Kenyan that works on a Torah is Mos. And the word on itself means when the non-Jew is acquiring ownership from a Jew, he needs Mashiach. The non-Jew is not going to make Mashiach. He's not going to go make Hanpo on everybody's comments. And everybody schnapps and everybody's spaghetti. So you have to have some other kinyan. So we have another kinyan. So we make a kinyan chotzer. We rent the rabbis authorized by all of the balabashtim, not only to sell the chametz, but to rent the roof where the chametz is located. Or you have to rent the roof that is not going to use the roof, it's not going to move it. You rent the closet, whatever it is. We rent the roof or the closet where we store all of the chametz in order to accomplish a kinyan chotzer. One of the kinyanim that works in a third, Sukkim Mechumish, one of the kinyanim that works in a third is, if I have an apartment, I own a property, or I have a clothing, I'm wearing a suit that has a pocket, or I have an automobile that's parked in the street. If somebody wants to give me a gift, and he puts it in the automobile, or he puts it in my pocket, or he puts it in my house, then that's called the kinyan chotzer. So, we rent the room, closet where the chametz is located, we rent our roof to the non-Jew. And he says, since the chametz is located in that room, you should acquire ownership of the chametz for the kinyan chotzer. So what do you need? What do you need more kinyan? So we sell the whole property, so we're making kinyan chotzer. So the Tzai Zafayshen discusses the issue. He quotes from the Sefer Birchas HaZeva. Birchas HaZeva was one of the early Agraim, in the late 1500s, I think, or the 1600s, late 1500s. Shmuel Aaron he still didn't accept the Beis Yosef of the Shulchan Aruch. He's one of the early Agrim. He was fighting against the Beis Yosef Karo. So the Birchas HaZeva came up with a new twist, that the Kinyan Chotzer doesn't work on behalf of a non-Jew. Kinyan Chotzer only works on behalf of Jewish people. It doesn't work on non-Jew. Or says, why can't it work on non-Jew? But the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Metziah, that Chotzer is Kaina, we consider the Chotzer as if it's a Shaliach of the Bala Chotzer. We have a rule in the Gemara, even though the Chotzer is inanimate, so we have to figure out exactly what that means. Okay, you can't understand that it's a real Shaliach. You can't even point a Shaliach, a person, a human being, who's a Chayav Shaliach in the Kotel. He's a child before Bar Mitzvah. He can't serve as a Shaliach. How can a Chotzer, how can an inanimate thing serve as a Shaliach? So you have to figure out what the Gemara means. Since the Gemara says the chotzer is kaina along the lines of shaliach, and a non-Jew cannot have a shaliach function on his behalf, there's no shlichas for a non-Jew, neither can a non-Jew have a shaliach on his behalf, nor can a non-Jew serve as a shaliach for someone else. There's no din of shlichas when we're dealing with non-Jews. So since chotzer is without a shluchai, therefore a non-Jew should be able to be kaina, should be able to acquire anything with the king chotzer. This was the taina that the Birchas HaZeva created. Truth of the matter, the Tzai Zachoshin and the Nesivis both say that he's dead wrong. He's 100% wrong, because there's the Tevashi Gemara, the Yantam HaSefer Sefer Zorah, but the Gemara talks about a Jew selling kosher wine to a non-Jew. The minute the non-Jew is going to start handling the wine will become Asabah Anov. If the wine becomes Asabah Anov before I sell it to the non-Jew, then I can't sell it. I'm not going to sell it to the non-Jew. You're getting Anov, you sell it. So I have to make sure that I sell the non-Jew acquires ownership of the wine before he touches it. So the Gemara says, how do you do that trick? How do you see to it that the non-Jew should acquire ownership of the wine, of the kosher wine, before he handles it? So the Gemara says, let him make a kinyan chotzer. The Jew will pour the kosher wine into the barrel that belongs to the non-Jew. And just like if you put something in my pocket, you put something in my automobile, you put something in my house, in my apartment, that constitutes the kinyan chotzer, that the Jew is going to pour the wine into the barrel of the non-Jew. Non-Jew will acquire ownership of the wine with the kinyan chotzer. So the Gemara says that'll solve the problem. So it's a favorite Gemara that a non-Jew can acquire ownership from the Talmud from the Jew. The kinyan chotzer. So the Tzais and the Nesivis are both upset. They say the Birchas HaZeva is wrong. But somehow out of respect for the Birchas HaZeva, maybe he has some kind of deterrence on the Gemara. We don't know how there's any possibility to answer the Gemara. So the favorite Gemara against. So that's why everyone's concerned. So we got to make another kinyan. But not satisfied with the kinyan chotzer. So the Hasam Sefer writes in his commentary on the side of the Tik Shulchan Aruch that was based on that because of this kasha of the Birchas HaZeva, because of this issue, he was always in the didactic when he would sell the chametz, he would sell it to a non-Jewish woman as opposed to a non-Jewish man. What's the difference between sell to a woman or a man? Because the Gemara comes to a startling conclusion, Gemara, the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, that's where the Rambam Shulchan Aruch bending the Gemara. The chotzer of a woman works within yad. Chotzer of a man works within shlichus. So the whole issue, the whole taina that the Birchas HaZeva had, how can a non-Jew acquire ownership of chametz? Kreuzer. Der Kreuzer ist ein bisschen schwerer, ist ein bisschen schwerer als ein Angel, und somit ist ein Angel schwer. Und ein Angel ist woman, wenn sie gerne acquire ownership tut. Der Kreuzer kommt trotzdem mit Tamia. Das ist mal, wenn sie dafür besuchen, bei Gerd, wenn das ein Jodo, der Kreuzer bei Woman in Tamia. Das ist der Chassam Seif, das ist eben so, was macht, und das ist aber auch nicht so ein Angel ist woman, because it is time of the Chassam. The problems and his suggestion as well, not so smooth, not so far. So that's why we're looking for another kinyan. What other kinyan can we make that will be l'chol ha'beis? So we have another kinyan. There is a mishnah in Kiddushin. The first parak in Kiddushin talks about getting married. And Silvis talks about the chuppah. The second step, the first step, man is giving the ring. That's Eris in Kiddushin. And the second step, the chuppah, is the nisuin. So Kiddushin is about Eris and Silvis is about the nisuin. So in the first parak in Kiddushin, it talks about Oisha Nikmas. How does a man acquire a wife? And it says, how does one acquire real estate? How does one acquire the Talmud? How does one acquire an Eved Kanani? How does one acquire an Eved Ivri? It gives you all the details. How do you acquire property? How does a person sell himself as an Eved Ivri? How does he sell a person as an Eved Ivri? How do you acquire ownership? So the Mishnah has a Kiddush of a different Bikinian Agam. One of the Jewish kings wanted to give his children matonas. So he gave them karka and the talmud together. But they only made a kinyan on the karka. I made a mistake. It wasn't necessary to make a separate kinyan on the talmud. And this is called kinyan agav. If you transfer ownership of the talmud along with karka, so once you make a kinyan on the karka, it's not necessary to make a kinyan on the talmud. That's what many of the Paskim said. We solved the whole problem. We don't know exactly how to transfer ownership of the Talmud and the Kofis into the Talmud. How do you transfer ownership of the Talmud into the non-Jew? It's a big hullabaloo. We're not sure how to do it. Just rent the apartment. We're renting the apartment to the non-Jew in order to have it in your concept. So when you rent the apartment to the non-Jew, just say, Agav the rental of the apartment, Agav the rental of the closet. But the rule of the Kofis is, we will be back with you. The Chovitz. So we have a Kinyan Agav. Sure, but the problem is solved. So what do we need all the other Kinyanim for? So the Tosis throws in a monkey wrench over here. Tosis in Bava Kama has a difficult Gemara, not in place. The Tosis can't figure out what's going on. So Tosis, in order to make sense out of the Gemara, Tosis comes up with a Chiddush. It must be the Gemara is assuming that Kinyan Agav is only a Kinyan in the Rabban. It doesn't work in a third. There's no pasuk in Rumish. The whole source for the Kinyan Agav is a pasuk and say the Dibra Yom. And the Gemara has a rule that the return, the Rekabola Loyalty, you can't establish a Din Minatora based on a pasuk in Novni or Ksu. A pasuk in Chumash can indicate a Din Minatora. It's not a Chumash, it's only the name of Ksuvim. You're not so sure that it's a Din Deraisa. So since the whole source of the institution of Kinyan Agav is only based on a pasuk in Dibra Yomim, so Tosis thinks it's only with the Rabbanim, and they claim they interpret the whole passage in the Gemara, but that's what the Gemara says. Others read the Gemara differently. They all are like that. That's what Tosis writes in Bava Kama in a few days. So what's so bad about that? The other Pesukim raise the two issues. If one should assume that Kinyan Agav is only with the Rabbanim, so then the Natar of the Chomet still belongs to the Jew. So you still have stuck with the problem of Bani Rabbi Matzeh. And others say, even if one should assume that a Kinyan in the Rabbanon works in the Hefti, even if a Kinyan in the Rabbanon works in the Torah, the Chachamim does belong to the other party in the Torah. But they, when the Chachamim made the Takana, the Rabbanon of Kinyan, they're the only institute of the Takana on behalf of Jews. How do you know they made the Takana, the Rabbanon, that a non-Jew can also acquire with the Talmud and with the Kinyan Agav? So we're not sure. So we've already made five Kinyanim. We're still not sure whether we succeeded in transferring the Chametz to the non-Jew. So we make a sixth Kinyan. The sixth Kinyan we make is what we call Sintumta. There is a Gemara, again, about Batsia. So the different students are learning different parts of Batsia. It's a big simple. So some of the students are learning Perek Gazel Nesha. It's a self-contained Perek, all about the laws of Rik. Rik is the rice, and Rik is the Rabban. Four different levels of Rik is one level of Ritz the Rice, and three levels of Rabban, a very complicated pair. So in the middle of Perik, Gazel Nesha, the Gemara speaks about a Kinyan Situmta. Again, I'm selling wine to another person. One Jew is selling wine to another Jew. I have barrels and barrels of wine. And And the minhag hamdina used to be that when I agreed to sell you a few barrels of wine, I'll mark down your name, sold to Mr. So-and-so, I'd write it down on top of the barrel. So the minhag hamdina was that constitutes a kinyan. The Gemara says, the halacha recognizes a kinyan that was invented by the minhag hamdina. So in certain parts of Europe, they had a minhag hamdina that shaking hands constituted a kinyan. I think now in the diamond business, or Jewish diamond merchants, when they shake hands, and they say, Mazal Bracha, that's considered a Kenyan Yifi Minhag HaSofer. In different countries, in different fields, it will be different minhagim, whatever the minhag be. So in certain parts of Europe, they had this practice, that by the Jews and the non-Jews, if you shake hands on a business deal, you shake the hands of the halacha, the shake of the hand is meaningless. Of kiyaskaf is a shlua maybe, but it doesn't constitute it's a serious promise, a shlua, but it doesn't constitute a kinyan, legally speaking. So since the minhag hamdina in many places was that the shake of the hand constituted a kinyan, so that was the practice, and make a kinyan kifi minhag hasar. So why do we need all the other five kinyan for? So just shake hands and that'll be good. The answer is again, this is a major dispute in the commentaries on Choshen Mishpul, whether a kinyan of Situmta, kinyan kifi minhag hamdina, is this a valid kinyan ben HaTorah? Was that only a kinyan of the Rabbanon? So again, if it's only a kinyan of the Rabbanon, so some say, well, the Torah the Chum, it still belongs to me. I didn't fancy ownership in the Hamjub. But even if one will assume that kinyan the Reis and Moyo, a kinyan the Rabbanon, even works on the level of the Reis, and that's a famous dispute, but the kinyan the Rabbanon works on the level of the Reis and only on the level of the Rabbanon, even if it does work on the level of the Reis, also questionable. Maybe this is tumta, maybe it's not so clear that that's the minhag hasar. It's interesting that Hassan Sefer used to sell chametz to a non-Jewish woman, he used to shake a hand also. He doesn't say that they shook the hand, but he doesn't say that it did over 6 kinyan. The rabbinic is that we make 6 kinyan. Every kinyan has a pickbook. Each one of the kinyan is a question. This is a slight question, not major questions, slight questions. So we assume, after you make all the 6 kinyanim, so we don't think that there's any sheet in the world that holds, that the goy still doesn't hold chametz after all that. So the pasuk discuss, that's why it's always recommended to have the rabbi sell the chametz. How many balabatim can help up to know that you got to make 6 kinyanim? You have to have a very intelligent non-Jew also. One of the rabbis here has a real estate man for whom he sells the chametz. And real estate man has a law degree, so they explain to him all the details that there's a question which kinyan works, and he understands it very well. He has a legal mind. He understands why you have to make 6 kinyan. So after we make all the 6 kinyanim, then we're pretty positive there's no sheep in the world that the chametz still belongs to the Jew. We assume for sure the chametz belongs to the non-Jew. And we are spared from the prohibition of Bali Rabbi. Yeah, this was, as I said at the beginning, we have different traditions here in the sheep. Dr. Belkin used to get, I was fortunate, I was born in the middle of the Second World War, and my Radeim, when I was very young, were refugees who ran away from Europe. Well, they come in a chacham, they were teaching me chumash. When they were teaching me chumash, they weren't just 10 lessons ahead of the students. They were lucky in their lives. They knew many Gemaras. I had Rabbi Yankelevich, who's a Rebbe, and she was over 100 years old, and I was maybe a special. He was my Rebbe before my brothers. We had European Rabbanim, all Chaverim of Dr. Belkin, and many of them from Europe. But they weren't just a few lessons ahead of the students, they were lucky ahead of the students. And they gave one style of Hashpah, and Rabbi Soloveitchik had a totally different style of Hashpah. Rabbi Soloveitchik was so much more dramatic than the others, and so much more entertaining. So Rabbi Soloveitchik had a big Hashpah on all the students, especially the ladies, but Dr. Belkin didn't give the day to she. But there are really different influences here in Yeshiva. Dr. Belkin's influence was Yeshivish influence, like Radin, like Mir, like all Yeshivas around. So eventually, it was his family tradition, the Valojana traditions. I want to wish everybody a friend of Pesach.
Hello. Thank you very much, Rav Schachter.